If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. Welcome aboard. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Hello there, Duke Brooks here. This is the Wednesday, March 26th edition, the very last program in the month of March here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So somebody get out the record books. We actually will have a fairly busy night this evening, at least I'm hoping that we will. We've got a major guest coming in. Adam Andrzejewski runs the website called OpenTheBooks.com. Adam was a candidate for the gubernatorial nomination in Illinois back in 2010. Sadly, he did not win. This was during the time that Rod Blagojevich was under indictment for attempting to sell the U.S. Senate seat that had been vacated by Barack Obama. And, each state in this union has its own rules for how U.S. senators shall be appointed in case the sitting senator leaves office. This is kind of a holdover from the original provisions for U.S. senators in the U.S. Constitution. And originally, until 1913, for about almost 125 years, U.S. senators were appointed by their state legislatures. In other words, our senator from Delaware was appointed, and I believe in Delaware it was by the governor with the advice and consent of the state senate. I don't think that the Delaware House of Representatives had anything to do with it. But in 1913, which was the height of what people now refer to as the progressive era, that and the income tax amended the Constitution so that the Congress could impose taxes on income. Before that, they could not. In fact, before that, the Constitution specifically prohibited a per capita tax. See, the Founding Fathers knew what they were doing. They absolutely knew what they were doing. And they knew that taxing people would discourage economic activity. They also knew that it would have a tendency to simply grow the government to a point that they knew would be potentially harmful. They had just fought a war that went on for 6.5 years, the Revolutionary War, in order to get out from underneath the thumb or the jackboot of what was then the largest empire in the world, and I think was probably the biggest government on earth, the government of the United Kingdom. And they knew that having basically an unlimited ability to tax people would grow the government, and it would set a bad precedent. They knew what they were doing. We actually... I guess, you know, look, at the end of the day, people get the government they deserve. And we keep voting for people who get in there and they raise taxes and they use the tax code, as my friend Kevin Wade has pointed out, and correctly, to reward their friends and to punish their enemies, because I think, as we all know by now, once a person gets into the Congress, only priority that they have is to be reelected. They don't like to hear that. They hate hearing that. I have gone right up to people, a couple of U.S. congressmen, and said to them, listen, congressman, I know that your only priority is getting reelected and everything else just doesn't matter. Oh, no, that isn't true. No, no, I want to serve the people. All right, well, why don't you let somebody else do it? Why don't you step aside? Oh, no, 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 I'm the only one that can possibly serve my constituents. Nobody else can. The arrogance of the Congress has gone beyond the pale. It may have reached an all-time high around 1993 or 94, when I think it was in 1992 that Tom Foley, who was the Speaker of the House of Representatives, he was a congressman from Washington State. Tom Foley had become the first sitting Speaker of the House to not be returned to his speakership, not be returned to the Congress by his own constituents, since some dude, I think during the Civil War, right after the Civil War or something. And anyway, it was, you know, just amazing. In Washington State, they had passed a law that was a term limits law. You could not perpetually, you were limited as to the number of terms that you could have. And this law in Washington State that the voters passed, it was a voter initiative. That's one of the things that I like about the Western states. Almost all of them have voter initiatives that can get on the ballot, and the people, the voters, will decide what the government's actions and policies will be. And obviously they have that in California, and the voters in California, as you recall, a couple of years ago, voted to make sure that the definition of marriage in their state was always between one man and one woman. And the gays in California sued in federal court, and a gay judge, a homosexual judge, overturned the will of the people. You know, I think that Arnold Schwarzenegger really should have shown some backbone and some spine, and he should have come out and said, you know, the judge can say anything that he wants, but the people of this state have spoken, and that is all that there is to it. But, you know, Arnold's a real tough guy in the movies, but, you know, ultimately I don't think he was that much of a politician. But, it doesn't surprise anybody that Arnold Schwarzenegger would have been elected governor of California. They're all about the film industry out there. Maybe north of the Imperial Valley or whatever it's called, they are all about the computer chip industry and high tech, and I think that they are, but in any event, I digress. But Tom Foley sued the voters of the state of Washington because he did not like the fact that they had imposed term limits. So the dummy sued his own constituents. Guess what? Next election, you're gone. I'm surprised he didn't sue them then to force them to perpetually reelect it. You know, you don't have the right to not vote for me. You don't have the right to prevent me from having perpetual terms of office. This is the arrogance of the career, permanently attached, perpetually reelected legislator. I mean, they are all over the place in Washington. No question about it. 718-305-7176 is the number. We're about maybe 10 minutes or so into this first hour of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Adam Andrzejewski will be joining me in about 8 minutes or so. And I think it's going to be very, very interesting. His organization, his website is called openthebooks.com. And Adam, well, I'm going to let Adam tell you all about it. I don't know if you watched any C-SPAN today. I actually had the opportunity to watch some C-SPAN, and I watched the hearing that was being conducted by Congressman Daryl Issa, and I met the congressman at C-SPAN a couple of weeks ago, and it was one. He was a very nice guy, and I'm very, very glad that I met him. And Congressman Issa, his government oversight committee of the U.S. House of Representatives, was basically questioning this guy named, I think, John Koskinen. I think that's his first. He is the commissioner of the IRS. Apparently, he is a lifelong U.S. government employee. He's a lawyer. He and Eleanor Holmes Norton went to the same law school. In any event, he is now the commissioner of the IRS. And Congressman Issa's committee was questioning him basically about why has the IRS not complied with the U.S. Congress's subpoena for the information concerning Lois Lerner. Specifically, they wanted Lois Lerner's emails. And they had Koskinen up there asking him why he would not, you know, why it was taking so long to get them. A couple of the congressmen really lost their temper, and I don't blame them. He was just, you know, the guy was basically bobbing and weaving, and he was trying to, you know, basically, conceal this information from the United States Congress. They should have locked the guy up in the brig in the U.S. Congress for doing all that bobbing and weaving. That's what I think anyway. All right, we are about 12 minutes after the hour. We are this company, conservativenationmedia.com. You know us, right? We are growing. And we could not think of a better way to expand our lineup, our very own Big Fisher, his very own radio program. Uncle Big Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com. That is right after the Michael Berryman show, which if you like conservative talk radio, you're going to love the Michael Berryman show. That is at 3 o'clock Central on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with us 7 days a week since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I've got another surprise or two up my sleeve concerning new programming. We actually have a new program on our network, which is going to be starting on Friday, April 4th. I will give you a hint. It is very, very closely related to the Tea Party movement, so I think that you're going to like it. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. In a few minutes, we will be joined by Adam Angievsky of OpenTheBooks.com to talk about just how much money government spends. And, well, Adam is going to fill you in on exactly how he's gotten the information, what he had to do to get it. They have 1 billion lines of taxpayer money being pumped overboard by the government on their website, OpenTheBooks.com. I think you should check it out if you get the opportunity. And later on in the hour, of course, we will be talking a little bit about the missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, which apparently now they are saying that there is a satellite that has spotted a possible debris field. I don't buy it. I really don't, you know, but we'll talk about that, you and I. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. When I come back, I expect Adam Andrzejewski to be with us from OpenTheBooks.com, so stay right where you are.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wives Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Alrighty, welcome back to Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.com. Duke Brooks here. 718-305-7776 is the number. Very glad that you're along this evening. I do have, we are waiting for Adam Andrzejewski from Illinois to call in. I do have some very interesting information here. This is, actually I picked this up at CPAC, but this is from the office of Senator Tom Coburn, a Republican of Oklahoma, and he has listed the top 20 cockamamie federal spending items from the year 2013, www.coburn.senate.gov, where he has the Waste Book 2013 project. Number 20, $415,276 for red wine for red China. The USDA is funding an effort to create greater demand for fine California and Washington state wines in communist China. All right, now look, I'm all in favor of exporting American products overseas. But I guess I just don't think that the United States government ought to be functioning as an advertising agency, essentially, for those products. The U.S. Department of Commerce functions essentially as an ad agency for those products. And, you know, that's look, those companies that make those things really can provide for their own advertising and their own marketing. It's not up to the taxpayers to fund it. Number 19 is Little Red Crabs, Not Men, 237,000 $205. NASA, placing its focus on the floor of the ocean instead of space, spent nearly $250,000 to study Christmas Island crab migration. I have no idea what that's all about. Number 18, $450,000. The very profitable Alaskan Brewing Company received USDA dollars to install an environmentally friendly boiler. I don't get it. I don't. Unbelievable. If they want an environmentally friendly boiler, they're a big company, I guess, by Alaska standards. At least Senator Coburn's report describes them as being very profitable. I think that they can install their own boiler at their own expense. I don't get it. Number 17, mental health money to Tinseltown, $195,000. Despite the fact that 330,000 people didn't get mental health services in 2013 because of $168 million in sequestration cuts to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, HHS officials threw a major Hollywood bash at Paramount Studios. Apparently, the Department of Health and Human Services has people on its payroll that spent $195,000 of taxpayers' money to have a party at Paramount in Hollywood. What is that all about? Number 16, $45,000. The USDA paid Fishhawk Acres LLC in Rock Cave, West Virginia, to market their own salsa and Bloody Mary mix. What on earth? Unbelievable. They're paying a private company to market the private company's products? The government has no business doing that. Come on, man. Number 15, $10,000. Power Up is using a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts for a troupe of pole dancing Austin Energy employees. Dozens of linemen and technicians conduct a choreographed routine with bucket trucks, cranes, and utility poles. Unbelievable. A grant from the National Endowment for the Arts for a troupe of pole dancing Austin Energy employees. What on earth is that? Number 14, $23,000. A study to find more environmentally friendly ways to dry coffee beans is now a priority for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. Number 13, $566,000. Keeping its record of stellar business decisions firmly intact, the Postal Service gave futurist Faith Popcorn, best known for her widely panned 1992 book, The Popcorn Report, $500,000 for advice on stamps and how mail carriers could visit the elderly, ill, and others who might want to chat just to make sure everything was okay. All right, I want to make sure I understand this. There's this person, a woman, I'm presuming, named Faith Popcorn, came out with a book in 1992 called The Popcorn Report. That sounds vaguely familiar. Gave her $500,000 for advice on stamps. What on earth is that all about? $630,000 in what turned out to be a major flop. The State Department, quote, invested more than $600,000 to buy fans for its Facebook and Twitter accounts. I remember that. What on earth was that? They wanted to look better than they actually do, I guess. $40,810 for the Institute of Museum and Library Sciences. They are paying for the Denver Museum of Miniatures, Dolls, and Toys to digitally inventory its thousands of toys. I don't get it. What? The Denver Museum of Miniatures, Dolls, and Toys? I've never heard of that. I love miniatures. Don't care for dolls. G.I. Joe is not a doll. G.I. Joe is an action figure. Those are different things. Miniatures, miniature what? I'll go out there and take a look at it. Why should that museum be getting money from the Institute of Museum and Library Sciences? Look, libraries at some point in the next, I would think, in about the within the next 50 years, in other words, by like the year 2064 or something, I don't think that there will actually be libraries anymore. I seriously doubt that there will be printed books anymore. It's a real bummer because if the power goes out, you're in serious trouble. On the other hand, by then, they may have a way of, providing power. I have no idea. I have no idea. We're not going to, those things are going by the wayside. Number 10 on Senator Tom Coburn's Wastebook 2013, $125,000 to celebrate the 75th anniversary of Superman. The National Endowment for the Humanities gave another $125,000 to fund a PBS documentary looking at the history and impact of comic books, quote, superheroes, a never-ending battle, unquote. The film has received more than $825,000 in federal grants since the year 2010. Okay. The National Endowment for the Arts, the one for the humanities, frankly, there is absolutely no longer, they can't be justified. If the arts are so important, then they need to be, on their own. I don't know. If there's such a demand for it, it's so popular, let individuals pay for it. $360,000. NASA no longer has an active manned space program, but the agency is paying 20 pill... I'm not making this up. Pillow knots, $18,000 each, to literally lie around for 70 days as part of their bed rest research to, quote, help scientists learn how an astronaut's body will change in weightlessness during spaceflight in the future, unquote. I'm a huge fan of NASA. This just doesn't compute. Number 8. $914,000. The National Endowment for the Humanities has given almost $1 million to the Popular Romance Project to explore finding romance online and in novels, films, songs, and more. What on earth is that? Unbelievable. Number 7, $141,886. Paterson, New Jersey is running deficits and has barely stayed out of bankruptcy. The feds gave the town more than $140,000 in housing aid, which was spent fixing up a vacant house that had already received $260,000 in work from the local government. No one keeps an eye on these things. Absolutely nobody keeps an eye on these things. We are almost to the bottom of the hour now. I'm going to have to do something to contact Adam Andrzejewski. That will happen during this break, which normally takes place right at about this time every night. I am very excited about our new show, which is coming up 1 week from this Friday. And I will have some more information for you about that next Wednesday night. We're going to hold a little, rehearsal this Friday night, and that's, don't want to open that one up to the public. However, I think everything will go very, very well for it. Anyway, let me see here. I've got so many pieces of paper and everything. that I can barely keep track. I'm just going to have to come up with a better way to keep things a little bit organized. If you can bear with me for one moment, as my friend Christopher Manti would say, let's talk about LifeLock. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There really is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Click on LifeLock. You will be glad you did. Stand by. More coming up. Don't go away.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on The Michael Behrman Show. Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
You know, it's one of those things I just feel like I cannot get enough of the Beatles. I could listen to the Beatles every day, and I've been kind of listening to the Beatles for almost 50 years now. Some things just never change. 718-305-7176 is the number. All right, Uncle Bing, thank you very much for your information. I was a little concerned about the audio quality tonight. I got a message from my computer saying that the audio device driver software has not installed, but Bing Fisher says that it is working just fine, and frankly, that is good enough for me. That's about all that I need to hear. I trust Bing's judgment implicitly. 718-305-7176. The chat room is open, ready for business. Got a couple of people motoring around in there. That's a good thing. I have been going over some information from Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn. we had gotten up to number 7, a house in Paterson, New Jersey. That got some attention a few months ago based on the fact that it's in New Jersey and Chris Christie is the governor of New Jersey, and the leftist media, they want to rip him. They're going out of their mind. They don't want Chris Christie to be the president of the United States. $150,000, the Puppets Take Long Island Festival in Sag Harbor, took money from the National Endowment for the Humanities for an 8-week promotion of puppets in order to attract tourism to Long Island and, quote, raise awareness of Long Island as a destination offering high-quality performing arts for families, unquote. Fewer than half of the artists involved were actually from New York. Unbelievable. Sag Harbor, I have not been there in a long time, but if I recall correctly, Sag Harbor is even nicer than the Hamptons. I mean, you can't get a phone booth there for less than $5 million. It's unbelievable. $403,627 using tax money from the USDA, Woodcrest Dairy Farm is trying to turn methane gas that comes from cow manure into electricity. Okay. You know, hey, man, I'm all in favor of it. But not at taxpayers' expense. $15,000 the USDA is paying for a project to fertilize hay fields with 3,000 gallons of human urine. They're still looking for volunteers to donate their fluids for this. Where does the $15,000 come in? What is that? That's to fertilize hay fields with 3,000 gallons of human liquid waste. That is $5 a gallon. Maybe they need a special human urine certified truck that the Office of the Acting Chief Deputy Assistant Staff Administrative Undersecretary to the Assistant Deputy Director has approved. You know, who knows? Unbelievable. What's the 15 grand? I don't get it. $390,000 with no manned space program to occupy its time, NASA has decided to spend money on a new climate action superhero, Green Ninja, to indoctrinate kids to take on global warming. NASA's mission is to explore outer space. It needs to get the heck away from politically correct pseudoscience and outreach to Mohammedans. That was another thing that they were supposed to Bolden was the administrator of NASA. He's a former astronaut. Obama gave NASA a mandate that part of their mission now is to reach out to Muslim countries and try to help them learn as much as they possibly can about Western technology. This is a very, very bad idea. $10,000. A federal grant from the National Endowment for the Arts paid for Mooseltoe, a new moosicle, to tour the nation over the holidays. Unbelievable. And Tom Coburn's number one cockamamie wasteful federal spending item from last year, $384,989. Yale University received tax money from the National Science Foundation to study, quote, the oddities of the duck penis, unquote. According to the Waste Book, the NSF website claimed that the project, quote, was intended to better understand duck reproductive activity with the goal of also better understanding human relationships, unquote, and that the project will, quote, incorporate high school students from underrepresented minorities. I suppose if I were to just kind of sit around all day, I could come up with stuff that is as crazy and that ought to be studied, that I think ought to be studied or something? I have no idea. I have no idea why they come up with it. The real reason is that taxes, of course, just flow into the federal government. They don't go away. The federal government just, it's unbelievable. Absolutely unreal. And it is slowing down the economy. The fact of the matter is the federal government cannot direct where in the economy the money should go. You know, if you reach into your own pocket and you give money to a poor person, that is a noble, a moral, an ethical, compassionate, charitable thing. It is always good for an individual to help another individual if the other individual needs serious help. Now, if a politician reaches into my pocket to take my money to give to someone else in the hopes that the recipient of my money will vote for the congressman or the senator, that is not moral. That is not ethical. That is not noble. That is theft. And that is all that it is. It is buying votes. And literally, that is all that it is. We're about 18 minutes now before the top of the hour. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Thank you very much for being along on this Wednesday evening. We got pasted by snow the other day here in Delaware, the Mid-Atlantic. I mean, one of the latest snowfalls in the year in recent memory. It was surprising. But what does come as no surprise is the fact that our Constitution, which is the basis of our nation and the central core of our values, is under attack. It sometimes seems that everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end run around the articles and amendments of the greatest governing document of all time. And if you are tired of leftists and unfriendly political forces, and let's be honest, who isn't, telling America that our Constitution should be nothing more than a footnote or a, quote, living document, unquote, which is, that's a euphemism for we want to ignore it. Be advised that a lot of real Americans like you and me are going to come together at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee. It's about an hour southwest of Nashville on the weekend of April 26th. Great speakers like Scotty Nell Hughes, Karen Vaughn, and Joe Carr will be on hand, to name just a few. Great music, great food, and great times will be had by all. Go to defendtheconstitutionrally.com to learn more about this great event, and I do very much hope to see you there. 718-305-7176 is the number. About 16 minutes now before the top of the hour here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Interesting thing I mentioned earlier on C-SPAN earlier today was the way the U.S. House of Representatives panel, their Committee on Government Oversight, was questioning the commissioner of the IRS. I wanted to see if I could find something on Drudge about this, but I don't see anything about it so far. I mean, they have an awful lot of, got a lot of things on Obamacare here. I love some of the headlines on Drudge. Police: corpse sat on couch, watched TV for 6 months. That is an actual headline on Drudge Report right now. Now, I guess that, if you need any further proof that too much television will rot your brain and eventually kill you, I guess that would be about it right there. Let's see, snap, naked man found riding tricycle and chewing glass. 13-year-old weighed just 21 pounds. Mom accused in starvation death. I do not understand that. Unbelievable. How could anyone allow? Unreal. Unreal. Secret Service agents in Obama's detail sent home after a night of drinking. You know, there are a couple of institutions in this country that I have always admired. I have always, you know, pretty much admired the FBI. And the FBI, they have sometimes done things that constitutionally they were not allowed to do. There are some people out there, like my friend Matt Opalisky, that might say that there is no constitutional authorization for the FBI in the first place. And he might be right about that. But even still, the FBI, when there are real serious bad guys out there, the FBI generally will take care of them. You know, we do need to have some law enforcement at the federal level. I mean, I just think that's kind of like common sense, although I don't think that it is specifically authorized by the U.S. Constitution. The Secret Service is another organization I do respect a great deal. In any event, it is just about 13 minutes now before the top of the hour. Going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more on the U.S. government, some headlines, and your calls, so stay right there.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't.
What?
You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit EnergySavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
All righty, welcome back. About 10 minutes now before the top of the hour here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. The number is 718-305-7176. We've got news from the Talk Radio News Service, Jeff Holtzman in Washington, D.C. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. John Boehner today, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, was informed, he must have known a while ago, but the Obama administration is going to again delay the implementation of certain regulations that are part of Obamacare. And Boehner has a great line. He says, what is this supposed to be, some kind of joke? You know, I mean, it's almost like the colonel in Full Metal Jacket. You have Born to Kill on your helmet, but you're wearing a peace symbol. What's that supposed to be, some kind of sick joke? You know, the fact of the matter is, when government begins getting involved in things like medicine, energy, food, housing, education, it screws up everything. And it has screwed this up. It will continue. It's going to really seriously destroy our country. Public health care really destroys entire countries. It is one of the reasons why the Soviet Union fell apart, and it will probably do tremendous harm to this country. I mean, I don't know. Do you think that if the Republicans gain a majority in the Senate, expand their control of the House, and then in 2016, maybe, with fingers crossed, knock on wood, I hope, I pray that a Republican gets in the White House, do you think that they are going to repeal the Obamacare law? I don't think they will. 718-305-7176 is the number here. I would love to hear your opinion about that. I just don't have any confidence in the, you know, the culture in Washington, D.C. is about, the culture in Washington, D.C. is about spending money, not about saving it. And stand by, if you would. Adam, is that you? Would you please call the call-in number on the station that I gave you earlier, 718-305-7176? Okay, thank you. All right, Adam Andrzejewski will be joining me in a moment. I'm not really sure what happened to Adam, but we should have him on the air here in a moment or so, and that is a good thing. He will be telling us about how government spends money, and I think it should be extremely interesting. 718-305-7176 is the number, as I just mentioned. You know, when John McCain was, he had been a senator, I think, for one term in the early 1990s, the mid-1990s, and after the Republicans took over the Congress in 1994, they didn't really do the things that the taxpayers wanted them to do. And by 2006, they were out. Then in 2010, they were back in. And, you know, almost no one is going to deliver what the voters want them to deliver. The country is divided, and a good friend of mine tonight told me that he had actually asked someone, somebody had come over to his house, and he found out that the person had voted for Obama, and he told them to leave. All right, now, I can understand that sentiment, because I do believe that the president is doing things to harm this country, because I believe that the president views America as being the bad guy in the world. And that's a very, very serious problem. You know, he was swept into office by the liberal Democrat-controlled media in this country. They did not vet him. He came in with a Teflon shield around him, and frankly, that was his racial background. That made him absolutely invulnerable to any attacks. Adam, how are you doing? And, okay, will you call the number? Let me give you the number again. It is 718 305-7176 is the number to join the show in progress. All right, thank you. Okay, I guess Adam is having some phone problems out there, but hey, you know, it's only the internet, so what the hell? As Geraldo Rivera once said on cable, I think he has a different outlook now. You know, he had been on ABC for all those years. I think he was also on NBC for a while. Maybe our Blog Talk phone system is not working. You know, maybe there he is. There's Adam. All right, Adam, can you hear me now?
I can, Duke. Happy to join the program.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Adam Andrzejewski was the a person running for the GOP nomination for governor of Illinois in 2010. And Adam, now you are operating OpenTheBooks.com. Fill us in on that and tell us a little bit about how it came into existence.
Sure. Well, back on my campaign for governor, and look, I encourage everybody, if you put your neck on the chopping block, if you run for office, be in it for the long term. Win or lose, execute on your promises. So back in 2010, Duke, I did run for the Republican nomination for governor of Illinois, and I came within 5% of winning. I was endorsed by Nobel laureate Lech Walesa when he came into Chicago. And I ran on a simple concept, and the concept was to put every dime of government spending online in real time. And although I lost the race, I might be the only politician in America to execute on his campaign promise, even in a loss. And so at OpenTheBooks.com, what we've done, it's our mission to aggregate every dime taxed and spent from every level of government in the country, the local, state, and federal government, and to put that in our database and make it very searchable for regular people to be able to see exactly where their tax dollar is being spent. So now we have a billion lines on
right to. Yeah, people have a right to know that. Obviously, I think a lot of people don't pay an awful lot of attention to it, but, you know, at the end of the day, people get the government they deserve, right? I mean, Rod Blagojevich obviously was a very serious cretin. He's in for like the next 12 or 15 years or something, right?
Well, we hope, unless he gets a pardon or the courts on appeal let him out of jail. But the right now at OpenTheBooks.com, we have a billion lines of government spending. And so last May, the Wall Street Journal published my op-ed, Track Government Spending on Your Phone. For the first time ever, we pushed the federal checkbook, all disclosed federal spending since the year 2000, to your mobile phone. And it's a free app in the Apple Store and in the Droid Store, where on a zip code basis, anywhere where you're standing in the United States, you can see exactly where the Washington, D.C. and the federal government, where your tax dollars are being spent locally. And so when we did that, I obviously took a look at my hometown here in Hinsdale, and we found that $3.64 million went to our local Rolex jeweler, and that paled in comparison to the $1.5 million that went to our local Lamborghini auto dealer, and then he went out of business 6 months later. So I encourage everybody.
Why was a municipality either giving money or spending money at those two high-end retailers? What's up with that?
Well, these are federal dollars, so it's federal money flowing out of Washington, D.C., and your listening audience can look this up on our Open the Books app, and in their hometown, in their zip code. And when I looked up the federal flow of money into my zip code here in Hinsdale, Illinois, that's what I saw. I also saw other things, like a $1 million grant went to a nonprofit education institution to enhance the educational programming of the Hinsdale kids. Now, Duke, you need to know, I live in a town where the average home is $900,000 and the average salary is $150,000 a year. So this is a $1 million grant into Millionaire Row. And here's what my neighbors need to hear. $17 trillion in debt as a country. We don't have the money to spread wealth to the wealthy.
No, we sure don't. Adam, I'd like you to hang on, if you can, for a couple of minutes. We're going to take a news break here at the top of the hour. Can you hang with me?
I can, Duke. With a pleasure.
Okay, thanks very much. All righty, it is time to go ahead and check Talk Radio News Service. and take care of a little tiny bit of business, and we will be back in two shakes of a land's tale with Adam Andrzejewski from OpenTheBooks.com, and he's got a lot more very interesting stories, so stay right where you are.
Coming to you every hour on the hour. The weather's fine, but the may be a meteor shower.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening for Talk Radio News Service. I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama assured Russian President Vladimir Putin today that the U.S. and its allies have no desire to go to war over Russia's illegal seizure of Crimea.
The United States and NATO do not seek any conflict with Russia.
The president did say that the U.S. will not recognize Putin's annexation of Crimea, and he warned Putin that encroaching further into Ukraine or any other neighbor will generate a unified response from NATO, of which the United States is a key member. House Speaker John Boehner is sounding off on the Obama administration's decision to create special enrollment periods for Americans who want health insurance but won't sign up before the March 31st deadline. Boehner said today that the administration is acting unfairly by extending the deadline for some.
The law says that enrollment stops at the end of March. That's what the law says.
Boehner also expressed incredulity that the administration will not require people who need more time to purchase insurance to verify that they tried to enroll before the deadline.
The hell is this, a joke?
Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. This is the beginning of hour number 2 of this edition of Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I'm not really like that much of an 80s music. Well, I don't know. Maybe I am. The Psychedelic Furs, as far as I know, that's the only song that that they're known for. I just love that thing. Welcome back, Adam Andrzejewski from OpenTheBooks.com. And Adam, you were explaining about how $1 million got to Hinsdale, Illinois, which I'm presuming is a suburb of Chicago. Am I right about that?
It really is. It's the 36th most wealthy zip code in the entire country. The average home is nearly $1 million. The average salary is $150,000. And that's when we really knew that we had a pretty incredible piece of technology, this Open the Books app, free in the Apple Store and the Droid Store, that your listening audience can download it to their smartphone. And what it does is it takes the last 13 years of the federal government checkbook, all disclosed federal spending, so grants, contracts, loans, direct payments, insurance payments, and farm subsidies, and it shows it to you right in your hometown or your zip code. And so when you do this in downtown Chicago, Duke, it's pretty interesting. You see $317,000 that flowed to the home address of the leader of the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, on farm subsidies.
Oh, God.
And then you also see in the downtown high-rise Loop building, seven public charities that are for all different breeds of ducks, and they've collected $3.5 million for their different duck subsidies. And the mallard duck is not even an endangered species, and Fox News did a little investigative research and found that the ducks are only on their property one season a year. You also find things like the National Audubon Society. If you're in New York City, the National Audubon Society has received $1 million worth of farm subsidies, and they've even received New York-based tobacco subsidies and subsidies for their lamb farm. They've received, at taxpayer expense, lamb slaughter subsidies for the National Audubon Society. So, I mean, you see all sorts of different things in that federal checkbook.
How do people get this? I mean, who makes a decision that, okay, we're going to award, well, earlier in the program, Adam, before you joined us, I was reading from Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn's Waste Book 2013, all this money being spent on all kinds of weird, just really inexplicable things. Let me get my glasses back on here.
Coburn's done an excellent job.
The number one was about $385,000 for Yale University from the National Science Foundation. And I'm not making this up, Adam. I'm not inventing this. This is real stuff. To study, quote, the oddities of the duck penis, unquote. I'm not making this up.
I heard about that study. I've had three meetings over the course of the past year, once with U.S. Senator Tom Coburn and twice with his staff. They related to me the following story. Ahead of 2006, because obviously it was the Google Your Government Act, and it was co-sponsored by Senator Coburn from Oklahoma on the right and Senator at the time from Illinois Barack Obama on the left, and they got together on a really good piece of legislation that actually makes our work at OpenTheBooks.com possible. And they opened up for the first time ever the federal checkbook. And so Coburn's staff related to me the following story. Ahead of that legislation, and there's only 100 U.S. senators, and it's been described that they're some of the most powerful people in the world by virtue of their position, but the federal government checkbook was so opaque that Coburn's own staff, to compile that waste book on spending, had to Google search local newspapers for ribbon cuttings to try to identify the pork. That's how bad it was.
And how do you compile the billion lines of government spending in this country at every level, federal, state, county? How do you do that?
Well, it's tens of thousands of Freedom of Information Act requests. So this is work that takes a lot of time and tenacity and resources, and we've built the structure and organization through our nonprofit at American Transparency to file these tens of thousands of Freedom of Information Act requests and follow up on the bureaucracy when they question it, when they try to get out of it. Thankfully, most units of government are pretty good and they fulfill our request as we file it. But for instance, on salaries alone, and all of this is in the app and on our website, at OpenTheBooks.com, on salaries alone, we have over 60,000 government employers who have given us their full salary rosters, most oftentimes going back between 5 and 10 years.
And they get paid a lot of money.
Well, they, you know, government employees, it used to be, and my father taught public school for 38 years, it used to be that government employees were paid less on the promise of this wonderful golden handcuff at the end, which was your public pension. Our salary transparency shows across the country that's no longer the case. We just published online the nearly 5 million salary and pension records in the state of California, and we found that the top 12,500 salaries in California clean off nearly $5 billion per year at taxpayer expense.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, last year, I think, the average government employee was making more money than the average private sector employee for the, you know, for the first time in history. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
In the state of Illinois, we've got all sorts of egregious circumstances. It's my home state. I know it better than any of the other 49 states. So we just showcased the other day that out of 202,000 salaries at the municipal and county level across the state, the top one was a bus manager. He's not even the leader of that bus department down in Champaign-Urbana, the Mass Transit District. That leader makes $300,000, and he's tripled his pay in 10 years. But this was an underling. In his final year, he made $358,000 before he went into retirement, which padded and spiked his pension at taxpayer cost for the rest of his natural life.
How on earth – I mean, what is it that – well, you know about the town called Bell, California, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Duke. I'd like to say in Bell, California, it's a perfect analogy, because eventually those guys in California that were making like $850,000 and were exposed, they were disposed of. They were hauled off in handcuffs, and that's the difference between Illinois and California. In Illinois, we had a community college chief make nearly $700,000, and then he retired at a pension higher than his next highest salary, and then they named a science building after him, and then they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to build him an on-campus retirement office. They're rewarded in Illinois.
How on earth, I mean, do the legislators are going over the budget for, you know, the coming up fiscal years or whatever it is, how on earth, I mean, what in their mind justifies paying a bureaucrat that kind of money? I mean, how, did they ever explain themselves? Did they ever, I mean, what's the deal? You know more about this than anybody does. How does this happen?
Well, Duke, it's an excellent question. You know, and I've sat with these guys early on because I wanted to get the mindset, right? I wanted to know what environment that we were playing in this transparency space. And that's when we realized that the best disinfectant is sunshine and is sunlight. And so that's what we do at OpenTheBooks.com. But I remember one circumstance down in Joliet, Illinois, and we were pretty hard on this guy. He had a 3-year contract worth $1 million at taxpayer cost. And so I had a friend of a friend, and he set up a meeting with him, and I went down to visit with him. And I was sitting across the table with him because for a month ahead of that, I had gotten feedback all over the state, and people were disgusted. And I told him exactly, starting that meeting, I told that manager of Joliet, Illinois, I told him exactly what I was hearing. I said, look, the most common response when I tell them you have a 3-year contract worth $1 million is, oh, my gosh, that should be illegal. And he actually got mad at me. Duke, they've justified it off in their heads 1,000 times.
Attack the messenger, right?
Well, they
attack
think they're
the bearer
worth every
of bad
dime.
News.
Exactly.
Yeah, they do. They do. Now, you have had to file many Freedom of Information requests. How much of this information were you able to develop without having to file FOIA requests?
Well, for instance, the federal checkbook, it's about 200 million lines, and those were in non-readable text files that we had to download, reorganize, and then upload to our website. So that actually did not require a Freedom of Information Act request, because as we talked about in 2006, Coburn and Obama did that really good legislation, Google Your Government Act, but it was still a ton of work to slice, dice it, and display it so it's useful to people. And then we wrote that first-to-market mobile application, Open the Books for your smartphone, so you can see all of it on a local basis where you know the relationships, you know whether people deserve that money or they don't deserve that money, kind of like here in Hinsdale with our Lamborghini auto dealership for $1.5 million.
What justified, what kind of expenditure was the $1.5 million for the Lamborghini dealer? I mean, what was it?
Right. So that was a Small Business Association loan. Okay, so taxpayers were subsidizing the rate, and if in default, taxpayers are on the hook for the loan. And lo and behold, like we talked about, the guy did go out of business, and we're not showing it paid back in the federal government checkbook. And Duke, I just want to say, I can walk down the street on Millionaire Row in my hometown, and where I get my hair cut, my barber got $860,000 of SBA loan. Two other jewelers in town got SBA loans. So three out of the four jewelers are dialed into the SBA for millions of dollars, right? The Italian restaurant where I can have lunch, they got an SBA loan for about $600,000. The local aesthetic surgeon doing the enhancements for the Hinsdale women got $400,000. I mean, what our transparency shows is that government spending is pernicious. You're now at a competitive disadvantage if you are not dialed into government money. And sure enough, some of the top business schools like Stanford and others in the country, they offer a degree now and courses in how to lobby your government for dollars.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. How did we arrive at this mindset that it is part of government's job to be, quote, stimulating, unquote, certain sectors of the economy and disincentivizing other sectors of the economy? How did that – it didn't used to be that way, up to and even beyond the Civil War, the actions of government didn't necessarily get an awful lot of news coverage, except during the Civil War, of course. But now it's, you know, people just view government as a way to answer every problem, provide for every need, right every wrong, provide money for every single thing. How did we get there, Adam? What do you think caused this? This is a major sea change in the transition from the American people being a group of rugged individuals to now being a quasi-collective mass. How did that happen?
Well, Duke, your characterization of the situation is spot on, and every single dime that is transferred from government into the private sector, like what we're talking about, it tears and rips and shreds at the work ethic and the very fabric of the concept of what made this nation great, and that's entrepreneurism and free market capitalism. Now everybody's on the gravy train, and that actually has a limiting influence on speech. And so nobody – who's going to stand up to buck the system? For example, when we – Rahm Emanuel at the City of Chicago has actually been very good on transparency and honoring our requests for the City of Chicago checkbook, and we've collected about 13 years of it in the City of Chicago. And most of it was Mayor Daley's spending, but Rahm's given us the last 2 years of his spending. When we sum the number of individual vendors in the City of Chicago checkbook over a 12-year period, it's 217,000 separate entities received a check. We just posted, and I had to file a lawsuit versus the top Republican, the comptroller in Illinois, to get to the state checkbook in this state. It's been a year in court. We're driving a judgment as we speak. It's cost us over $60,000 to do this, but the suit's been very successful. We have forced open a $500 billion of state spending since 2005, and when you sum the number of unique vendors in the state of Illinois checkbook, it's around 1 million entities received a check out of the state of Illinois. So you ask yourself at the end of the day, who is left to fight the pernicious constriction of freedom and liberty? Who is left to fight the spending and the debt, which always spending and debt leads to taxation? And when there's a subsidized business, there's always a subsidized loser, and that's the rest of us.
Are you let me ask you this. Which government gave you the hardest time and resisted the most your request for checkbook spending line items?
Well, I love being on your show, Duke. Thank you very much for your interest in the topic, and that's an excellent question, and it happened actually 10 days ago. The comptroller in the state of California, after back and forth on email for 8 months, we simply asked him for 1 year of the state of California checkbook. We anticipated a problem. We were good about it out of the blocks. We asked him for just a year, not 10 years, like we did Rahm Emanuel in the city of Chicago. And in the end, he just rejected outright, basically telling us just go away. He rejected our request without citing a single statute, exemption underneath the open records law, or any law in the state of California. He basically just said, go away.
And your response was, I'll be back, right? So have you sued them?
Well, that's the next step. So certainly we are interested in filing a court action simply to hold the comptroller in the state of California accountable to the open records law in California, the same that we did in Illinois when the Republican comptroller rejected our request for just 1 year of the state checkbook in Illinois. She called that at the time an undue burden, and she quantified it. She said staff would have to work 3 days to fulfill it. She had a $13 million annual payroll, and our court case proved it wasn't an undue burden, and we've actually got the last 8 years of line-by-line spending because of the suit. We're going to do the same thing in California. Unless we stand up for our rights and enforce our rights when wronged, we're going to lose those rights. And we know what what government at all levels is doing to the private sector. They're opening us up with the latest in technology. The NSA, obviously, with the communications, our metadata communications footprint. What's not talked about is our financial records are being accumulated by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and obviously our health records by the IRS. And so we have to aggressively, as citizens and we the people, to defend our basic and fundamental rights, Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution as written, that a periodic reporting of revenues and expenses must, it says, be given to the people on a timely basis. And in the Internet age, Duke, we believe that simply means every dime online in real time.
Well, I agree. And now let me ask you this. What I'd like to do is I'd like to bring you back on the air at some point soon and see what is happening with your planned action against California, because they need to open their books like everybody else has. But what is next for you, Adam? It sounds to me like you still have some fire left to perhaps seek office and get these people to be accountable and to stop wasting money like this.
Well, I tell you, I'm young. I'll be 45 years old this summer, and so I appreciate that, Duke. I did love my run back in 2010. It confirmed to me that, you know, what I found in business, that the people are good, we're ethical, we live by a code in our political class, especially in the state of Illinois, but what I'm finding is across the country, and certainly in Washington, D.C., they live by a different code. They need to be held accountable. Now, to that end, I'm not going to be on a ballot anytime soon. I've got three young kids, 9, 7, and 5, Ellie, Molly, and Emma Kate, and these girls need a coach at home. So I am very, very excited about spearheading such a robust transparency effort at every level across the country, and for the first time giving citizens access to very, very important financial data at all levels. Quite simply, we want to make low-level financial Freedom of Information Act requests obsolete in the Internet age, and I think that is a worthy legacy of a lifetime. After we're done with that, we'll analyze that. You know, we'll look around and we'll see what's out there. But this is a battle that will probably never end, and we're happy every single day. I'm excited to get in the shower and go to work.
Well, I'm very, very glad that you're out there, and listen, we are in your corner here at conservativenationmedia.com. Anything that we can do to help you, we are absolutely in favor of it. So thank you very much for being with me tonight, Adam, and I look forward to having you back again soon.
Duke, thank you so much for your flexibility here this evening. It was a tough night, and I really appreciate being on your program and reaching your listening audience. This was absolutely excellent. Really enjoyed the two-way conversation.
Thank you, my friend, and I enjoyed having you. Have yourself a wonderful evening.
Thank you very much, Duke.
All righty. Well, there you have it. I mean, the guy has 1 billion lines of information about how government spends money. Listen, government has a legitimate role. It has a legitimate job. Government is necessary. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that once said, at its best, government is a necessary evil. At its worst, it is an intolerable one. Government is kind of a necessary evil, but I believe that it has become a lot more evil than is necessary. I really think that in most cases nowadays, government is the bad guy. You know, what do you think about that? 718-305-7176 is the number. And I would like to hear your thoughts on that. I do want to let you know, I'm actually kind of excited because we do have a new show that is starting 1 week from Friday. We're going to have a wonderful time. This time next week, next Wednesday night, I will have a lot more information about this new program. I will give you a hint. It is called Who We Are. And I really like that name, and I think that you're going to like our new guy, Eric Adam. He is from San Antonio. We do start off the work week here at conservativenationmedia.com every Monday in a great big way. It is a great big show, and is called Inside Tennessee with my buddy Dave Vance. Now, we talk about Tennessee a lot here. Tennessee is an epicenter for a lot of things in this country, and even if you are not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are, of course, spreading out all over America. David Vance brings his veteran's insight. He was in the U.S. Army for most of his career, and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure that you don't miss it. It is brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And I hope that America starts winning soon. How about that Obama, though? He was in The Hague the other day. He was in Amsterdam. There he was, standing in front of a famous painting by Rembrandt, which is known as the Night Watch, but is more correctly called the Return of Captain Van Cooke and his regiment of, it's got a long title like that. And, I have seen that painting in real life, in person there at the Rijksmuseum. The Rijksmuseum is amazing. I was kind of surprised that the president was defending America. And what he talked about, I saw part of his speech live, what he talked about was the idea that Putin was trying to draw some kind of a moral equivalent between American action in Iraq and in Bosnia, in Kosovo, and his annexation invasion of Crimea. From what I understand, troops are building up now in Crimea, and I suspect he's going to go right into Ukraine. You know, we talked last week with Dr. Dave McIntyre at the Bush School of International Affairs at Texas A&M, which is apparently one of the best ones in the country. I know somebody that is a student there. I would guess it's very, very hard to get into as an undergraduate because the person I know who goes to school there is very, very bright. But I was very surprised that President Obama basically said, look, what Putin is saying to justify what he did really doesn't wash. And that's what he was saying. And I, you know, I'm surprised that a leftist, a liberal, a guy like Obama would actually say those things. You know, it's kind of like you know, now I've heard everything. And just when you think you have heard everything, those people in D.C. pull something else. And they're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. And I hope that that begins this coming November. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of, quote, social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready right now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You will find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. We'll have to pick up on this week in Civil War history next week because I didn't want to shorten our time with Adam Andrzejewski. He must have had something going on, which is why he was late getting on the air. But hey, man, you know, stuff happens. What are you going to do? I guess Christian from Denmark is not going to call in tonight. I was hoping to hear from him. Always enjoy hearing from our international correspondent. Bright guy. Anyway, we are going to take a little break right now, and when we come back, more of your calls and more commentary upon the news of the day, so don't go away.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Today, my new dad threw a barbecue.
Today, my new son and I threw a barbecue.
There were burgers and chicken.
I burnt everything. The burgers, the chicken, the salad.
Ah, they were delicious.
They were awful.
And then we had watermelon.
I'm allergic to watermelon.
And then we played catch.
I broke Mr. Lewis's window. Mrs. Wakeham's window. Mrs. Wakeham's windshield. And then somehow my hand.
My hand!
And then my dad even let me drive his car.
The hospital's on the right!
It was a rough day.
It was a great day.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Penny Lane.
Hey liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Yes, sir, that's about right. And again, the Beatles, I just, you know, what an incredible, incredible band they were. Absolutely unbelievable. I love them. I hope that you do too. 718-305-7176 is the number. Apparently, a couple of firemen were killed today in that, two of them, in that tremendous fire. A nine-alarm fire in a four-story brownstone building in Boston's Back Bay neighborhood, according to a Boston councilor named Josh Zakim. Let's see if I can pull up some additional information here. Two Boston firefighters were killed today in a fire that ripped through a brownstone in a densely populated neighborhood. Bay Area. Smoke and flames fanned by strong winds poured from the roof and windows for hours. 13 other firefighters were injured in the blaze, and several police officers also were taken to hospital. Some residents had to be rescued from the upper floors of the four-story apartment building, but none were hurt, according to city officials. Mayor Marty Walsh said, "We lost two heroes here today. Today's a sad day for the city of Boston." The firefighters were identified as Lieutenant Ed Walsh, a 43-year-old father of three who had almost a decade of firefighting experience, and Michael R. Kennedy, a 33-year-old Marine Corps combat veteran who had been a firefighter for more than 6 years. Being a fireman is a very, very, very dangerous job. It apparently comprises many, many hours of absolute boredom, punctuated by moments of stark terror and very, very, very serious and in some cases mortal threats to the fireman's life, and an extremely dangerous job. It's kind of like being a policeman. That is a very, very dangerous job. I have several very close, personal, lifelong friends who have been policemen. One of them I went to college with. He recently retired from the Nassau County, New York Police. That's Long Island. He did very well. That's a very well-paid police department in terms of raw numbers, but of course in New York City, a pack of cigarettes is about $12. I think gas is probably around $4, maybe $4.50. You know, everything is more expensive up there, but it is so dangerous. The idea of walking up to a car that you've pulled over by the side of the road on a dark night and you can't see who's in the car, that you couldn't pay me to do that. I used to jump out of airplanes constantly when I was a kid. You may have heard last week, Dick Kinsley, he and I were talking about Flight 370, He and I were best friends in college, and we jumped out of airplanes together an awful lot when we were undergraduates at Syracuse. And yeah, that's dangerous, but you know, somebody once said the parachute is a machine, and they're right. That's pretty much what it is. And if it is packed correctly, and if you as a jumper know what you are doing, you are not going to get hurt. That is not necessarily the case if you are a policeman or if you are a fireman. You can get hurt or worse. Those jobs are just way too dangerous for me. Anyway, we've got about 19 and a half minutes to go on this episode of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. The number is 718-305-7176. Here's a Gallup poll indicating that 76% of Americans view the Pope favorably. You know, I actually went by my parish office today because I wanted to get one of those small cards with a picture of the Holy Father on it. I had one of John Paul II. I never had one of John Paul I, and I don't think that I had one of Paul VI or John the 23rd. Those are the popes that I remember. When I was a kid in New York and going to school at St. Ignatius Loyola School on 84th Street between Madison and Park Avenue, Pope Paul VI had come to New York, and our entire school was out there on Park Avenue waiting for the Holy Father to come by. He did come by. We all saw him. He looked right at our church and blessed us. He was blessing the crowds of people as he went by in his limousine. As I recall, it was a convertible. Must have been in the spring or the early fall. I don't remember exactly what year. I guess I could find out on, you know, the internet. And, you know, they can't put anything on the internet that isn't true, obviously. But I did have one of John Paul II. You know, even if you're not Catholic, you've got to acknowledge what John Paul II did and what he contributed to the modern world. That guy was awesome, absolutely awesome. There were some things that he did and did not do that I'm not sure I necessarily agree with. As far as Pope Benedict was concerned, that's a tough act to follow. Being Pope after John Paul II, that's tough. You know, I'm not really sure how you're going to be able to live up to any expectations. From what I understand, the bureaucracy of the Vatican, which is called the Curia, is even more impenetrable than the U.S. government bureaucracy. I'm not really sure exactly. There are still people that believe that John Paul I was murdered because he had indicated that he was going to do some things that were going to kind of break up the Vatican's bureaucracy. And of course, they did not like that. You know, that's just one of these things. Bureaucrats just do. Once they get in there, once they get power, once they get positioned in such a way that they figure that they are just entitled to that for the rest of their lives, you can't get them out of there except with dynamite, you know? Anyway, we are still the freest country on this earth. And those of us who do love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. Now, we at conservativenationmedia.com are not going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away. And our very own constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading that charge. Go get him, Matt. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, does always win. About 14 minutes or so now until the end of this edition. We are going to take a very quick break here. And when I come back, I have a feeling that we're going to be hearing from Matthew Opalisky, that crazy constitutional scholar, and I don't mean a postcard. Stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up, impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
It's still on the line.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Meadows, host of Graceland. Join myself and author Curtis Mang on Thursday nights for some common sense conservatism from the soul of the South. That's Graceland from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern, 9 to 10 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com.
ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Now you know how nice it feels.
All right, welcome back. The Mighty Moody Blues there, and from the album On the Threshold of a Dream. Absolutely love the Moody Blues. You know, that's one of the things about these kids today. That one's called Have You Heard? Absolutely adore that. What a wonderful band. There was something on Facebook I saw a couple of weeks ago. I thought this was very interesting. Someone had printed the words to a Led Zeppelin song. And I forget which one it is, but the words are, if the sun refused to shine, I'd still be loving you. And then they had the words from some rapper from today, and it was, you is a stupid hoe, you is a stupid hoe, you is a stupid hoe, stupid, stupid hoe, use a stupid hoe, use a stupid... I'm not making this up, you know? I mean... Unbelievable, the coarsening of our culture. The left is to blame. You know, they're to blame. They're the ones that are always saying, oh, we have to be really edgy. We have to push the envelope. They're doing it for shock value. Now it is embedded. The record companies just don't, you know, they couldn't care less. Everybody works in their own self-interest at all times. The Democrat Party couldn't care less what happens to this country. All they care about is being in charge. They think that they have an absolute divine right to rule in the United States. And the only people that have a divine right to rule in the United States are the people themselves, because in this country, the people and not the government, not the courts, are sovereign. That's the way I like it anyway, and that is the way it is in this country. 718-305-7176 is the number, and I was right. We are hearing from Matthew Opalisky, and it is not a postcard. Matthew, welcome aboard, my friend. How you doing, pal?
Good evening, Mr. Duke of Brooks. How are you?
Well, I'm hanging in there. I'm, you know, kind of discouraged by our president, but hey, you know, aren't we all? So what is happening tomorrow night on the Liberty and Constitution community at 8 o'clock?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you, don't let go. Keep hanging in there, you know what I mean? What are we going to talk about? Man, there's a lot of stuff. There's actually, today there was a case, well, of course, most folks have been following the Hobby Lobby case that was before SCOTUS yesterday, or if you didn't follow it, maybe
absolutely.
You read some of the goings-on. So we're
going
to talk about...
I've read quite a few things about it, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Hobby Lobby case. And, you know, one of the things that always, I don't know if it makes my blood boil or what it does, because you'll have folks from opposite sides, okay? They'll be, you know, the pro, whatever is being decided and the con, and they're all down there at the bottom of the steps of the Supreme Court building waiting for these fools in robes to tell us what the law is, as if they make the law, and they don't. But, I mean, that's the system that I guess the uninformed public lives in. They feel like, well, we got to go see what these belong, you know? So we're going to talk about the Hobby Lobby case. But another thing that was interesting that just came out of Supreme Court, and there was a piece written about it this morning. It was a gun case, and it had to do with a man from Tennessee. And this dates back to early 2000s, like 2000, circa 2001. This was a man in Tennessee who was arrested, and he was charged with a misdemeanor crime in Tennessee, a crime of domestic violence. And now, there was no physical injury, but he was convicted of a misdemeanor. Well, he has since been denied a right to own a firearm, and he sued, and the lower courts they basically sided with him that a conviction, a misdemeanor conviction almost 20 years ago shouldn't bar the man from owning a firearm. Well, it got up to
nothing.
The Supreme Court.
Only a violent felony involving firearms should, but I don't think anything else should.
Well, the long story is, and we'll discuss it tomorrow, is the high court has overturned all that, sided with, you know, the Brady campaign and the mayors for illegal drugs. And this was unanimous. This was 9-0, okay? They decided that he should not, or those convicted of misdemeanors should not be able to own firearms. And I know they can say, hey, well, you know, we interpret X, Y, Z, but Duke shall not be infringed. You don't have to like it. But it says what it says. And if you don't like it, there's an amendment process. You can change the Constitution, but you can't write legislation that changes it, because that's not how it works. And we've kind of had that round robin going on with the sheriff here in Delaware for years, as a matter of fact, decades. But, you know, I digress on that whole topic. So we're going to talk about that case. We're going to talk about the Hobby Lobby. So that's two cases that kind of involve the Supreme Court. Trying to think what else here. I was just reading another piece that I'm gonna bring. Well, it's actually something local. The back and forth bickering in our state house between the minority party and the majority party is really, well, I don't know if it's more funny or if it's more disgusting. And you probably being that you're here local, you understand some of it, where, you know, the House GOP made a proposal for budget cuts for Del Dot, and, you know, the Democrats said, well, okay, we'll listen to you. What do you want to cut? And then the House Republicans then send them another letter saying, well, you know, it's not our job to figure out the cuts. And then it's like they've been writing letters to each other for 2 weeks blaming each other. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about the comedy of that. And I'm just going to touch on quite a few different things. Oh, the plane. Everybody's out there saying boss the plane, right? Boss the plane. I heard you on a local station the other day. Okay, so we're all jacked up about the plane, but we still don't have – there's nothing. They don't have anything. How can they be saying it's definitely concrete what happened, but there's no evidence of anything?
Well, they can't. They can't. They have no evidence. They've got yeah, they are. And, you know, as we discussed last week, Malaysia is a third world country. They really don't know how to conduct an aircraft accident investigation the way we do. Nobody in the world knows as much about conducting that kind of forensic investigation or accident as the United States does. The you know, you can say what you want about the NTSB, but they know how to conduct that kind of info. Listen, this whole thing with the airplane, it's got Mohammedan terrorism written all over it, as far as I'm concerned. Now, oh, it sure does. Now there is apparently some satellite imagery from some Chinese satellite that seems to indicate that there is a debris field in the southeastern Indian Ocean. And if it is, then it is. And hopefully we will soon know what happened. But in the meantime, nobody has any clue. It's all speculation. It's all just a bunch of double talk and, you know, jawboning. That's really all that it is. For
lots
people
of money.
That of course, absolutely. There are people that are suing Boeing. They're suing Malaysia Airlines. You know, who knows? I mean, there are no facts yet. We've only got about 2 minutes left, Matt, but I saw today on Facebook and heard some people saying that as far as they were concerned, the Hobby Lobby company was trying to impose their religion on their employees, which is utterly and completely absurd.
Yeah,
what they're trying to do is not be forced by the federal government to subsidize abortion, which they view as being contrary to the teachings of Christian faith.
Right.
My question is, what's going to happen? What about when it's a Mohammedan company? Because the Mohammedans are not really in favor of abortion either. We've got about a minute left, buddy.
Well, look, if you can allow the government to force a private company to do something that is against their religious beliefs, let's take one example and look at Chick-fil-A. They close on Sundays. Now, that's the same as if the government came to Chick-fil-A and said, you're no longer allowed to close on Sundays. You can't be closed. Well, how's that any different?
That is something that government would like to do. Of course it is. You know, that is something, listen, government wants to tell everybody what to do at all times. That's just their nature, you know?
Yep.
That is just their nature. It's kind of scary. Matthew, thanks for being with us tonight. I look forward to hearing you tomorrow night on the Liberty and Constitution Community, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Thank you, my buddy.
All right, brother. Take it easy.
All right. All righty. Well, that will do it for this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Don't forget to listen to Matthew tomorrow night and all of us here on conservativenationmedia.com. You should be listening all the time, seriously. Thanks a lot for being with me, and I will speak with you again next week.